But I know one who is the greatest repairman, and his name is Jesus. And I want you to know, everyone, God is there to repair. And he is the handyman, the divine handyman. And I just wanted to sort of navigate through here. These are all my tools. I want you to know that. These are all mine. I didn't borrow them. I've got a screwdriver from 1973 that I've used four times. I've got a little hammer here, a little bit of hammer action, and that's there. I've got some nails, and they're here because, you know, it's all about being, it's all about reconstruction. It's all about reconstruction. And if I also have some clothespins because, you know what, we all need some clothespins in life. That's all I had. Okay. Oh, and then the best tool in the world for every handyman. Somebody say, I need some duct tape. Come on. When all else fails, you got some duct tape. Woo! And, okay, we got some pliers. And last but not least, we have a measuring tape. So, yeah, good answer. And we're going to push play. All right, our scripture this morning is Romans 8:28. We're going to look at that. Romans 8:28. Now, over the last number of weeks, I have been struck by the theme verse of our previous series. And we've been talking about fear, and it's Romans 8:31, which is just a couple ahead of it, but you just kind of land there. And we had read that the theme verse of the of breaking fear in us is Romans 8:31. What shall we say about such, coming to me, wonderful things as these? We had a prayer time last night. Oh my, oh my, oh my. And I so appreciate Kruma would just declare and then ask us to repeat. And that was way cool. So, if God is for us, who can be against us? Say that. If God is for us, who can be against us? So what are the wonderful things that precede that? Well, Paul is referring to verse 28, and that is our scripture that we're going to look at shortly. And we know that God causes everything to work together for the good of those that love God and are called according to the purpose he has for them. That, my friends, is the wonderful. 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 Yeah, don't clap for that one. That was awful. Okay, confession time. I have to confess something. Up until probably the last 4 or 5 years, this was not one of my favorite verses. I know a lot of my friends that this is their life verse, and I thank God for that. And I think they've finally rubbed off on me. Because now I see this as such a significant verse. In fact, the longer I live, and the more I've delved into this, Romans 8:28, the more it's become alive and rich to me. It's so much more than just, well, God's goodness is beyond measure. Beyond measure. Take measure. That's brand new. I'm not even going to charge it. That just came. God's love and goodness is beyond measure, and God is for us. Both are true, and both are incredible. But if we drill, there are things in there that are so much more rich. Things that make us love him even more. Now, I did this a couple of years ago. I talked about all the misquoted verses in the Bible. You know Romans 8:28 is one of them. And it's... You know, people say, well, you know what the Bible says? Everything works out. Well, kind of, sort of, but it's a lot more than that. And that misquote robs God so much, and it robs us so much. So, let's get to some meat here. Romans 8:28 is nestled in the context of Paul's letter to the book, to the city of Rome, and to the church that was in Rome. And you have to understand the virtually the entire book of Romans is about the war in our soul. And when you see Romans 8:28 nestled in the midst of that truth, it starts to make a whole lot more sense. It's the war in the soul. I got some really, really good news for you, church. You ready for this? Before you came to Christ, you were helpless, a helpless prisoner to sin. Somebody say amen. But I got some good news. See, that's why it's called good news. That's why it's called good news. Because then, if you chose, you became alive in Christ. And the Spirit awakened in you, and a new reality began. I just realized that why there's this kind of holy hush in the room. Everyone's waiting for this belt to fall off. I know that. It is, how do people wear these things? Wow. Anyway, a new reality has begun. But then, a brand new struggle starts. And this is really the base of our message today. And that is, it's the struggle between what is right and what we naturally want. And at the beginning of our journey with Jesus, let me say something. They ain't the same thing. What is right and what we naturally want to do. Oh gosh, I remember my struggles. Wow, it seems like yesterday. Wait, it was yesterday. But I'm so glad that my struggles now are not my struggles of 10 or 15 or 20 or 30 years ago. They're new struggles as I'm pursuing Christ, as I'm taking a hold of Him, as I'm walking in obedience, as I'm walking in holiness. The struggles have changed and they've grown as God is purposing my perfection. But make no mistake, it is a war, especially for a new follower of Christ. See, Paul alluded to that himself. He said, you know, in Romans 7, that's the chapter before Romans 8. See, 7 comes before 8. New. And if you know Romans 7, it's that war. And he says, oh gosh, the good I want to do, I don't do. What I do is the bad I don't want to do. And I want to do good, but I do bad. And I don't want to do bad, but I end up doing bad and I don't do good. And then he goes on to say, oh, who is going to save me? Who is going to set me free? And then he finishes that lament with, but thanks be to God. Thanks be to God. The war between what the Spirit wants and what the old sinful nature wants. But if you're a Christian today and you finally owned your stuff, here's the whole thing. God is right there to repair. Oh, come on. Put that one in your phone. God is right there to repair. Holy Spirit is not only the revealer of our previous nature, the sinful nature, but He is the empowerer of our new nature. That is a takeaway today. If you got nothing else, then that is a treasury. Let me say it again. Holy Spirit is not just the revealer of our previous nature, but He is the empowerer of our new nature. You see, what do you mean by previous nature? Well, so when you came to God, what got awakened, in your heart was a conscience. As soon as you came to God, probably unbeknownst to you, you didn't realize it, but what was awakened is your conscience. You now start to notice the things you do. And that conscience that is awakened in us is the element of Holy Spirit that wants to refine us. But see, it's more than just a conscience. Holy Spirit is the empowerer of the new nature. And again, 8, 15, and 16, watch this. Paul goes on. He says, so much of the book of Romans, where are we? There we are. Ah, there it is. You have not received the spirit that makes you a fearful slave. But instead, here's the contrast, but instead, you've received God's spirit when he adopted you as his own children. Now we call him Abba Father. For his spirit joins our spirit. There's some really, really cool theology right there. Holy Spirit links with our spirit, and the transformation takes place. Joins our spirit and affirms that we are God's children. Oh my. Somebody say amen. It affirms that we are God's children. Now, what does that mean? Holy Spirit doesn't make us feel lousy, but reminds us that we are adored children. And when you know you're a dearly loved child of the living God, your behavior changes. Let's just pause for about an hour. And let's just take that in. When you know who you are, a dearly loved child of God, that's if you've taken Christ, and he awakens that in our heart. And when you know who you are, then everything changes, our behavior. Now, here's the beauty. Here's the incredible thing about God, that even before we get that glorious truth, even before that makes sense to us, and there's a lot of people in this room, a lot of people watching us online, and they're probably Christians, but that truth hasn't landed in their heart yet. They're still struggling with addiction, still struggling with behavior, still struggling with shame. Oh my, did I like that song. Shame? You leave yourself right at the door because the Father is here. And the Father wants to remove shame. Somebody say amen and amen. Even before we know this glorious truth, though, and even in the process of us discovering this glorious truth of who we are, he's there to repair. And he's going after us with his love. Even before we didn't have a clue what we were getting ourselves into when we signed up to follow Christ. Even before those revelations came, he did. He knew. He was committed to our restoration and our renewal. You know, in the theme of restoration, of renovation, sometimes God has to bring a wrecking ball to us so we're ready for his restoration. How many are ready for a wrecking ball? But I got good news. He's faithful to complete the work in us. All right, now, that brings us to our message today. Hopefully you get some treasures today, and you'll never read Romans 8:28 the same ever again. For we know that God causes everything to work together for the good of those who love God and are called according to his purpose, his plan for them. That, if you know Jesus today, if you have Jesus today, this, listen to me, this promise is yours. Everyone that has Jesus, this is your promise. And we know that God causes everything to work together for the good of those who love God and are called according to the purpose that He has for us. Now, as we dive in, let's look at these three rich things in that verse. Number one, for we know that God causes everything to work together for good. I italicize because the definitive words here are first, causes. There's an intervention. It's God creates. God makes happen. He will intervene from a previously established course. And trust me, church, it wouldn't have worked out for good unless there was an intervention of God. Did that land? There wouldn't be a worked out for good unless God intervened. Church, aren't you glad that God has intervened in your life? God has intervened in your life. And then the second one. Oh my. Watch this. Caused for the good. First of all, God invented good. God invented goodness. The Bible says that He is good. In fact, the Bible says that only God is good. And His goodness is so much higher than us humans can comprehend. Now, I know you don't want to hear this, but it's true nonetheless, and it's all part of your perfecting. Sometimes pain is for our good. How many people here in this room, how many people watching online have gone through pain? Three people. Okay, good. Nice. Yes, yes. And sometimes it's just us hitting the ditch all the time. But even in the midst of that, God will use. God will use. And pain can sometimes be the antidote that gets us to God and does that rich work in us. And you know, we think that that is irreconcilable. What do you mean pain could be for our good? Sometimes it is. But His goodness is for our good. Okay, I'm going to move on from there. That's a heavy, but I'm going to move on from there. When we behave according to our sinful nature, and all of us have in this room, when we behave according to our sinful nature, we make messes. And there will be a lot of spilt milk in our lives as we follow our sinful nature and make messes. There's a lot of spilt milk. Remember the old saying? Nobody's crying over spilt milk. But when you blow it, here's the good news, church. When you blow it, you have an advocate fighting for you. Oh, come on. He's making good out of bad. That's the whole message today. He's making good out of bad. He's turning things around. Church, know full well He's in your corner today. Now, question, as we are almost done. Works out all things for good. Causes all things to work out for good. For who? For who? Well, the short answer is, yes, for Christians, but it's deeper than that. Oh, sure, you say. Are you telling me now that there is a catch? You're saying he's not just going to work out things perfect for me all the time, no matter what? There's a catch? Well, I would be more apt to call it a promise than a catch. But the condition is this. First of all, he works out, causes all things to work out for good. Those that love him. Now, if you've signed up for this thing called following Jesus, and I trust that even if you haven't, even up to this point, or even watching online, if you haven't chosen Christ yet, it would be my hope and it would be my prayer that you would even do it by the end of this message. But if you signed up for this thing called following Christ, then that's where it starts. Because you can't love them until you get to know them. You can't love them until you get to know them. And the beautiful thing, church, is to know them is to love them. There's another song coming in my heart, but I'm gonna use self-control right now. I'm not gonna sing it. Now, many claim to love him. You know, it's the plumber thing, right? Say no to crack. Did I just say that? Oh my goodness! Can we edit that? There are many that claim to love God, but as we always say, they only love him for what they can get, or only love him for the things that he can do for you. But is that really loving him? No. Because church, loving a feeling. And that's in reference to God, or if that's in reference to relationships, or marriage, loving a feeling. It's a choice. It's a commitment. It's a directive. God is calling people farther than fair weather Christians. And if you want to soar, you got to pass through this threshold of feelings. Now, here is the test, the acid test, for if we love him or not. Are you ready? Today, we're going to find out what is the acid test for if we love him or not. Well, it's number three. Those who are called, oh, this is getting good. Oh, this is who? Those who are called according to his purpose for them. To love him, the proof is if you will relinquish control of your life. Pregnant pause. Relinquish control of our life. That proves, church. That proves if we love him or not. Okay. A few verses and then I'm gonna close. See, Jesus was talking to Peter. This is after Peter had blown it. I mean, wholesale blown it. He said he would never deny Christ. Not only did he do it, he did it three times. And Jesus wants to reconcile Peter back to him, back to his life. And in his reconciliation, he says, Peter, do you love me? Yeah, of course I love you. Of course I like you. No, Peter, do you love me? Yes, Lord, you know I love you. Like you. And Jesus said it a third time, no, Peter, do you really, 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 really love me? And what did he say? I feed my sheep. In other words, do what I want. Do what I want. Jesus is saying it to Peter today, and he's also saying it to us today. Do what I'm asking of you, not what you think fulfills you. Do what I'm asking of you, not what you think fulfills you. Because, church, today, know this full well. What Jesus is asking of you will fulfill you. That right there was worth the price of admission. That's the takeaway. I got to do it. I can't help myself. Here we go. Say goodbye. Say goodbye. Say goodbye. This is really bad. Okay, can we edit that one? Okay. Leave it down. Oh. When you do what he wants, then you're fulfilled. See, even for Christ himself, Jesus was asked by the Father. See, he doesn't ask anything of us that he wasn't willing to do himself. The Father had asked of Jesus to be the ransom for the world. He was going to take on the sin of the world, and doing so, be executed. And you know the story in the Garden of Gethsemane. And Jesus is in agony. He's about to take on the sin of the world and ransom his life for us. And in his, yes, in his humanity, yes, in his realness, he said, Father, is there any possible way I don't have to go through this? Any possible way that I don't have to go through this life-altering agony? And I don't know if it was an hour later or 2 hours later or 30 seconds later, he said, but Father, not my will, but your will be done. Do you know how to prove that you love Jesus? That you love God? Father, not my will, but your will. I relinquish control. This is tweetable, this next line. Put it in your phone. We got to put this on this week. Jordan, we got to put this on this week. Are you ready? It's not about God blessing our ministry. It's about allowing God to make us a blessing. Does that work for just about everybody? Does that work just universally for everybody? It's not, oh God, bless my this or bless my that because it's mine. It's the kingdom that I'm trying to build. No. It's, Lord, let me, allow me to relinquish me and let you take over and God make me a blessing. And finally, God said, for I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you, not to harm you. Plans to give you hope. Peace in the future. Do you know that his plans for you will prosper you? Our plans for us won't prosper us. His plans for us will prosper us. Now, watch this. When these conditions are met, that we love him by proving that we surrender and relinquish control, then, wow. God cleans up our messes all the time. You can call him the quicker picker-upper. You could say that he is the bounty paper towel God. The quicker picker-upper. Cleaning up your muck, cleaning up your mess, cleaning up your spill. And he's willing so willing, for teachable and have a contrite heart. And like I just said, he is completely committed to your success, even more than you are. A success that is beyond anything you can fathom. And I don't mean that makes, I don't mean that that's making $200,000 a year versus $100,000 a year. Or if that's from getting a better wife than the one you currently have. No, that's not success. Success is a knowing that you're adored by Him. A success is knowing your identity in Him. A success is feeling secure in Him. And everything in life works better. God causes us to learn in the cleanup. Take this one. Take a picture of this one. Take a picture of this one. Know this full well today, church. There's nothing we go through that we can't learn from. God can't use for us.
But God, I can't believe my brother. This is not fair. God, how come you do it? And I wanted you to work a better job than I wanted to. And it's not fair.
There is nothing that we're going through that God can't use for our good. We used to say it all the time every Monday night in CR. God never wastes a hurt. Come on. Solve every problem. That's right. God never wastes. All right, worship team, get back here. We're going to do some happy, clappy, jumpy, shouty, because God is going to do some way cool things. Somebody say amen. Amen. Do you have any idea, church, how much God is behind the scenes fixing and repairing things that you potentially didn't even know were broken? And God's doing it. He's doing it because He's committed to your good. It's for our benefit. It's glorious to watch our God at work. Know full well there's going to be bad days. There's a good chance that even this week you're going to have a bad day. But God is committed to working and causing all things to work out for good. For those that love Him are relinquishing control and letting Him run them. When we're faithless, He remains faithful. He understands our condition. It doesn't say if we're sinless, He'll work out all things for good. Because if we were sinless, there'd be nothing to have to work out. But in that refining process of our life, He is committed to working out, causing all things to work out for good. He's committed to it. Allow God to be in control. Ooh, that just landed heavy in this room. You're struggling and you're stumbling somebody because you're not allowing God to take control. You're still trying to work hard to impress Him. How's that working for you? That'll never work. Relinquish control. Let Him work out for good in your life. Ah, now, one of the most important songs, just bring that down a little bit, please, because this is big, this is important. Don't miss this. Actually, just bring that right off. We'll fire it back up. I just can't lose my tune. One of the most prolific songs of all time will be what will help us today. Penned by the man that many know. His name is Bruno Mars. lives. Oh no, it's right. And the song that will help us today is his song called Grenade. Let's all stand today, church. And let's receive the truth. Let's all stand today, church. And let's receive the truth from this prolific song entitled Grenade. Help me if you can. Cause I'd stop up, I'd catch your grenade for ya. Throw my hand on a blade for ya. I'd jump in front of a train for ya. Ah, you know I'd do anything for ya. You know I would take all this pain. Take a bullet straight in my brain. Yes, I would die for ya. Wait. Wait. You're going, how is he going to redeem that soul? That's exactly what Jesus did for you. He took all the pain. He took the blood on the cross. He died for us. So working out all things for good, for our resurrection, for our perfection, for our exaltation, for our refining, for our joy. Somebody say amen. Now you can play and start that song, the one I want, because we're building it. We're building it. And I'm going to finish with this. If it's still on, will it work? Can you work with me? Work with me. Work with me. Oh, okay. With all that he does, what's our response? What then shall our response be, as Paul penned? Gratitude and increased obedience. Now, I got good news. I got hope and good news for everyone in this room. Let me say it again. I got hope and good news for everyone in this room and everyone watching online. If you do, you can, with Christ's power, live in such a way that he has to repair things less and less because you are following and obeying him more and more. And then his kingdom will increase. Then his kingdom come. In Emerge Church, in Sylvan Lake, in Central Alberta, in Canada, in this world. As we close today, know this. He wants to work out. He wants to work out all things for good. He's purposing to cause all things to work out for good in your life today. That's the promise. He's purposing, causing, wanting to work out everything for good in your life. Easiest way to do it? Relinquish control and live for him. Does it get any easier? Does it get any better than that? What he did for us. What he did for us. Let's sing that together. What he did for us.